Good evening. I would like to welcome you all here. I think if I had my choice, I would enjoy hearing the quartet sing all evening. But the Lord has given me special interest in presenting this topic, and I'm glad that each of you can be here. Psalm 122:1 says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I'm glad that each one of you are here in the house of the Lord. If you did not get a handout, we have two ushers, Brad and Nathan. You can raise your hands, and they can bring you a handout, because this will tell you what the schedule is like and the order of events. And this is something for you to take home, and it will tell you the dates when different things happened in the church. As I was thinking about this presentation and interviewing different people, going to their house, scanning their photos, and hearing their stories, I learned something really important about history. That is, you reach a certain age, you remember something different than someone else. I would get one story, it happened this way. Another person told me it happened this way. So your memory goes as you age. So if I say something up here that you remember a different way, that's fine. Feel free to come and correct me. Someone already told me one typo on your handout. The address of the Greenwich Road Church is 3816. So after the presentation, if you find any more typos or corrections or something that you would like on this timeline, be sure and see me so I can add it on there. Also, because of time constraints, I won't be answering questions tonight, and perhaps that's something that we can do in the future. I would say the beginning of this presentation is the most important to pay attention to, because it sets the foundation for the rest of the presentation. There were three buildings that the Norton Church had. The first two were called the Barberton Church. The third was called the Norton Church. So when I say the Houston Street Church, that was built in 1909. When I say the Brown Street Church, that was built in 1928. When I say the Norton or Greenwich Road Church, we're talking about this building we're in right now. So if you walk out the front doors, turn to the right, there's the cornerstone. I'm not going to quiz you, but you should all learn what those dates mean. They're very important to the history of the church. So as a way of getting started, raise your hand if you ever attended the Brown Street Church as a visitor or a member or as a child. Then let me ask another question. Who didn't ever attend the Brown Street Church? Okay, it's about 50-50, I would say. Did anyone ever attend the Houston Street Church? Doesn't look like anybody. I didn't think there'd be anybody here. But how did I get interested in this? 3 years ago, I was visiting Kay Vargo, and she was telling me about her life. And I said, let's get in the car, and let's go look at where your apartment was and where you got married. Let's go look at the churches. And I said, let's go find the Houston Street Church. I had never been there. And here it's just one street away from the Brown Street Church. And so I took pictures of the Houston Street Church that I saw there, not really knowing if that was the actual church or not, because it sure didn't look like something built in 1909. It said Galilee Baptist Church on it, and I was thankful for Brother Dave Tomich, who went to the Barberton Library, and he did some research for me, and he found out that indeed this very church was the one that was built in 1909. However, it had been remodeled in 1979, and therefore it looked quite different. So he found the church registries for me. We were able to verify that this Houston Street Church that we visited was this church. And he found some newspaper articles talking about this church. This is what it looked like. Very, very small. Just a simple building. Not much to it. I can see basement windows. That's probably where they had Sunday school down there. But this work that Brother Dave did filled in a lot of missing links because I couldn't find anyone to interview that went to that church. This shows the pictures that were in the newspaper of the church when it was built, after it was constructed. So it does show that is the same building. Another person that was very important to me was Sister Carol Schley. She gave me many, many old messengers. I found out that church records were not kept until 1975. So I thought, well, how do I find out what happened in 1950, 1960s? Well, these messengers came in handy because they showed me that in 1905 was the first group of people that did start a church in Barberton. And if you can read those names there, Ken Cervini, the Cervini name is mentioned. So the original family, the Cervini family, was there. Interesting to me also is the Bates family, which include families such as the Malatage, K. Vargo, and the Relgen families. So I just found this a little article that was in the 1971 Messenger, just a missing puzzle piece to the research that I was doing. And the next slide mentions that the church was built in 1908. The cornerstone says 1909. So it's possible that the ground was broken in 1908. The actual church dedication was 1909. But that's up for speculation. I will go with 1909. That's on the cornerstone. What's also interesting to me is the price of the church. The total cost of the church, $1,900. Also, what's interesting to me about this messenger article is that Papko family is mentioned and the Gallup family is mentioned. These are names that are still in the church to this day. And thanks to Brother Dave Tomich for unearthing this ancient photo of the original elder of the Houston and Brown Street Church, Glisha Obradov. And so he did a lot of work in baptizing and marrying and church order. And I was just really thankful for a picture because I didn't even hear of him before I started this presentation. The Pasco family was an instrumental family in the beginning of the church and throughout all of the 1900s. If any of you are familiar with Ernie or George or Ted Pasco, you would say that their father here, Lazar, looks a lot like them. And someone asked me who Gospodinsky is. That's the female member of the Pasco family, the one daughter. Pasco married a Gospodinsky. So they were very active in the church through the 1950s. And I would like just to say a little bit about the Pasco family. They spoke only Serbian. Barberton Church was a Serbian church, so they spoke Serbian. When a family came over from Europe and they were trying to find a church that spoke Serbian, a lot of times they went to Barberton. It was a church which is considered like a farm church. Farmers went there, Doylestown area, Barberton. So if you were more of a city folk and you spoke Serbian, you would go to a different church. So Lazar Pasco came over in 1905 from Europe, like a lot of other members did, because of refusal to bear arms. When he came over, he didn't know anybody, but he had a name. This name was Tony Feldman, and he had a city called Copley. So he got off the ship at Ellis Island. He took a train to Akron. He found Copley Road, and he started walking. He was looking for the Nazarene Church, and he saw this man delivering milk on his horse with some milk jugs, and he said, "Do you know of a Tony Feldman?" And he says, I'm Tony Feldman. And so God led him straight to the person that he was looking for, who had a mustache. So he knew it was the right Nazarene church. Lazar Pascoe went to work and sponsored all his brothers to come over and his family. So really it was a Pascoe church at some point. These men married and had children in the church. So these are the four Pascoe siblings, Ernie and Mildred, George, and Ted. This was taken later on in their lives. So this is the second picture I have of the Houston Road Church. And you know what I like about this? It's the cornerstone. It's just this little 1909 up there under the window. But it is the correct date when they built the church. And I was very thankful that Dave met with the current owners of the church and they were unable to unearth this photo for us. The baptismal tank was in the basement here. They were very happy to have just the tub there because they used to have to baptize people in the canal, breaking the ice with an axe. So they were really glad to get that indoors. But you didn't have Sunday school rooms, and I find that very interesting that they chose 20 years later to build another church because of lack of Sunday school rooms. So even though they didn't have a Sunday school per se, their vision was for the future church for Sunday school rooms. A story that I've heard is they used to teach the children Serbian lessons instead of the Bible during church. So George Pascoe learned Serbian during church. And I sometimes wonder why he had such a passion for, let's build a better church for our children with Sunday school rooms, because he didn't have a Sunday school education, at least at church. Okay, next on the scene is another Pascoe brother, Shondor Pascoe and Katie. This is the father of Paul Pascoe, Paul and Don. I think Paul looks a little bit like his mom, but they were very instrumental in having the church move from Houston Avenue to Brown Street because Shondor and Katie owned the house on Brown Street. And they were willing to sell their house and their land to the Houston Street Church because they had a little bit more land. They could have more Sunday school areas. And so they sold this land to the Nazarene Church in 1927. And they sold the Houston Street Church for $15,000. So if you're a mathematician, you can figure out in 20 years how much profit they made on that church. To find this deed to the Brown Street Church, we found it in an attic in Pennsylvania from a Gospodinsky relative. And I thought that was very interesting that we could find this original deed with original signatures of Glacia Overdove and the different ministers. And like I mentioned, Shondor sold the land to the Nazarene Church. So the part of the contract was that they had to pay back this money within a certain amount of time to Shondor and Katie. Katie Pascoe's relatives were the Boss Egg Farmer, Boss Family in Copley, if you're aware of that. And the date of the deed is March 23rd, 1928. So they sold the Houston Avenue Church, and a new church was built in 1928. And so September 9th, 1927 shows the contract to build the church. And you look at this now, you don't have time to read it, but I have it in a scrapbook up here. You might not have time to read that in a scrapbook, but this is a good time to say that one of my future projects is to put this all into a booklet form that you all can have a copy of these important documents of the Norton Church. So this is I have very few pictures of the Brown Street Church, and I bet you can know why. It was really forbidden to take pictures inside the church during those years. Also, people didn't have cameras. They didn't have money to develop their film. But one thing about this church, if you see on the right, you can see a little house back there. When you have time to read the contract through, you'll see when the Brown Street land was bought, there was a house by the road. So they had to take that house, move it back behind the church before they could start construction. So in that house lived many widows or single people. Some families, I think, maybe even Seppi's lived there. Margaret Seppi lived in that house, the caretaker. So many, you know, people could watch over the church living in that house. Now, people went to the Brown Street Church in cars. Nope. Horses and buggies. So that was how it was in 1929 when the church was built. Some families came no matter what the weather was. What can I tell you about the Brown Street Church? I attended there probably 3 years in the late 60s. So I remember the church. I did interviews just to learn a little bit about the church. That's the front of the church, and this is the back. So if you were a child playing here, you remember that parking lot. Also, they tore down a house to the side of the church so that they could lay more gravel for parking lot once more people had cars. You come in the church on the top floor on the left, and the men's coat room and the men's staircase were on the left, and the men's door to the men's side of the church. So if you come in the women's coat room was on the right with the women's staircase on the right to go downstairs, and the women's door to go in church was on the right. So that was a very different thing. Even when they built this church, there was much discussion. Will the women be on the right or on the left? That was just a very big deal. But the men's staircase was taken down and made, that room was made into what they called a cry room or a baby room, and so that where the staircase was in the basement, they could add another Sunday school room. So this shows the women's staircase. The women's side of the church, they sat on the right, men on the left. So any of you that attended Brown Street Church, this picture will just make so many memories come into your mind. And they're not all positive memories. The first generation knew Serbian. The second generation did not want to speak Serbian. They wanted to become American, have American friends. So when services were all done in Serbian, they hated it. And they even lost a lot of second generation people because they were speaking Serbian. An article I written by Ernie Pascos talks about the need for English services. The church dwindled down to nothing. And so during services, the fathers would give their children pennies, money, go to the corner store. So instead of being in church, where were the kids? At the corner store buying ice cream and candy. And we wouldn't think of that today to do that with our children, but because of just one language, not a really good Sunday school program, that's what they did. And so they saw the need to introduce English services into the church. So Brother Ted was the first English minister ordained in 1937 in the Brown Street Church. And he ministered there until 1963 when he moved to Pennsylvania. So another show of hands. How many of you growing up lived through two languages or more during the service? I remember as a kid also. Sitting through, I had no clue sometimes what the language was. And I would always like recognize one word like Jesus or something. I knew that was Jesus. so Serbian, it was given in the morning, English in the English afterward. People went home for lunch, who came home back at 2, they would have English first, and then a Serbian. And where did they have their singing? At West Akron. West Akron, they would have their singing, and Tuesday night they would have their midweek service singing where they sang the Blue Book. So as a child, I remember being in the basement here on these very unstable brown chairs. Every kid would fall through the back of those chairs. It got to be really entertaining. But I really like this picture because if you go through that back door, it says men, but that was the coal room, original coal room to heat the church, later became a boiler room. But it was a joke in the church that if you saw a man and a woman come upstairs with coal on their forehead, their engagement was going to be announced. Because that was the minister's room. So it was the men's bathroom area, it was the minister's room, and it was the coal room. So many things went on there that I never went in that room. The kitchen's on the right, that little window. I remember having Sunday school in that kitchen, a little tiny room. But if you walk straight back, that's where the baptismal tank was. This room was so tiny you could not fit everybody in there to watch the baptisms. It used to be even tinier till they made a opening in the wall for people to fill two rooms to watch the baptism. So while you would be baptized, you would hear the singing going on upstairs. And I interviewed Martha Gruch, who told me you got baptized in there. You had to walk all the way down through all the people to the ladies' restroom to change clothes. So if you think you have it bad up there, you have it easy, okay? This is looking in the same room the opposite way. The kitchen's on the left, and that door in the back is the one that goes upstairs. If you're familiar with the Grigg family, and Sam Stanić was one of the Serbian ministers in the church. So this is another, besides the Paschal family, the Grigg family, Stanić family goes way back to the beginning on Brown Street Church. Like I mentioned before, photos were not taken in the church, so I had a whole handful of wedding photos taken on the steps of the church in front, because that's where you got your photos taken. The oldest member of the church is Olga Bates Melitage. You remember Bates was one of the original people. Here's Olga on the left when she was a girl. She's 99 years old now and lives in Florida. And to her right is Marina Stanić. That's Martha Delphia, Marilyn's mother. And then they would have picnics at Liz Arpafko's farm in Doylestown. So that was one of the things that they did. They would go out to Doylestown and have picnics. And one of the most famous names I hear about the Brown Street Church was Esther Torres. She led every Sunday school class, I think, for 40 years. All the pictures that I have of the Sunday school almost have her in it. And so she was a very dedicated worker. Also, something we don't have right now is wartime. But during the war, the church would get together and pack boxes for the soldiers, for people overseas. And that is something that was just like a youth group or a service that they would get to do on a regular basis. And I like this picture too, because it's four generations of the Paschal family, with Lazar on the right, coming over, as I told you, from Europe in 1905, raising his family, many who are still in a church today. And I find it interesting that most of them are believers. And I also like this picture because I remember Sister Julie in her later years, the second wife of Brother Lazar, and Ted and Anna and Jack and Bob. And another minister was to the church for many years was Ernie and Sue Paschal. And Ernie, He also served at West Akron Church for a while and the North Akron Lakeside Vesper Lake Church. And he worked together with his brother George for many years. I have a picture of Brother George and Helen when they're older, but I like this young picture because George had such a vision for the young people in making the church something that the young people would want to be a part of, not only serving. Let's get English into the church. Let's get Sunday school into the church. And so, like I said, I have very few pictures of Brown Street Church, but here's one. I remember singing from the Sprodman hymnal. This is the other green book from the 1960s. So that's one thing I remember, in addition to the Blue Junior Hymnal and the Zion Harp. I find it interesting that there was no instrument in the Brown Street Church. There wasn't even a pitch pipe at the time. That was for the Germans. So there was an older brother in the congregation who started all the songs, only he was off pitch. Okay, so there was a sister named Darlene Sellers. Later, she married Bojanek. Had a beautiful voice. He would start the song off in a monotone, and she would correct in her beautiful soprano voice. Later on, they did have a piano in the basement for the Sunday school, and when the choir started up, they brought a portable organ upstairs for the choir. We moved to the Barberton Church in 1968, and you can see some of the our family here. Ryan is, and Arlene's holding. Darla, Jivan, middle row is Paul, Annette, that's me, Elaine, Gary, front row, Lois, Amy, and Roger. And I like this picture because it's the only one of our family at the Brown Street Church. Another brother put into the ministry was Brother Bob Pathgove, and he was the son of Brother Ted, Sister Anna. And as you will learn as we go along, Brother Bob was instrumental in the beautiful brickwork done and the building of this church. And so in 1972, we were already constructing this church here, but we were still attending the church. So Esther Torres was no longer there in this picture, but this photo contains Webbles and Gridges and Pathgoves. And another Brown Street Church. Before we head on to Greenwich Road, this is Steve Gridge with his family, and Roger must have wanted to become a Gridge, I guess. At this point, I'm going to transition into the building of this church. Now, on the cornerstone that you have, what year was this church ground broken on it? 1970. Okay, you're doing good. 1970. Okay, so we're going to transition away from the Brown Street Church and start talking about how this church was built. I did a drive-by of the Brown Street Church about, I'd say 3 or 4 years ago, and the steps used to go out to the road. Now they're at the side. But it just gave us a good picture. It just looks the same. They remodeled some of the inside, which I didn't see. But pretty much, you know, if you attended there at any age, it looks just about the same as when you're attending there. Okay, why build? Why build another church? The Brown Street Church, part of the foundation was sinking in, and I find that to be interesting because we are to build our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ. If we don't, we start to sink and fall apart and break apart. And that's what was happening to the Brown Street Church. It was getting older. There wasn't enough room for Sunday school rooms, even the parking lot, you know, with all the people attending with the different cars. How much cash did they have on hand? This is the only document I have showing monetary funds at the time, but they had just, you know, $6,000 looking for land. And this shows a map of Barberton and Norton. Over here is Brown Street and Houston Street. And here's Lake Anna, and they were looking for land on Greenwich Road over here, right here. So they didn't really move that much farther. But George Pavko was farmer type. He knew people. He had connections. He was really, really friends with the Cyberling family. You all pass this house coming here. This is the original Cyberling family. We're very loving to the Barberton congregation to let them buy land. So George Pavko did land negotiations with Walter Cyberling Sr. And so they contracted to buy this property. $1,000 an acre. So that tells you just how much I really have a lot of respect for the Cyberling family and how loving they were to the congregation, which I will tell you about a little bit more. But this name, Lillian Cyberling, was the grandmother and lived in that house, and she always envisioned a church on this hill. Isn't that interesting? And she passed away before she saw the dream come true of the church on the hill. But Walter and George, Brother George Pavko, Walter walked this land, and George had a shovel in his hand, and Peg Toth couldn't find the picture, but there's one of his shovel, and at noon he stuck the shovel in his ground. He wanted the due north property to be due north, so in the morning the sun would come on in one side, and at night the sun would come on the other side. And you know, in the night, if you're speaking, the sun blinds you on this side in the summer. So if the sun does come in the right way. So Walter Cyberling was very kind to donate corn for the chicken barbecue. He even helped with the construction of the church. And I did find an older picture of the Cyberling family, even though it's a little bit blurry here. So the original drawings, you know, it's interesting about, I couldn't really find the original blueprints, but this shows, at the top, shows the driveway coming in. Into the property. It's just the outline, the original land that was sold to the Norton Church. What I like about the Barberton Turning Norton Church, they didn't take out credit, but it was brothers that donated their time and their efforts to build the church. Very few projects were hired out when the church was built. How would you like that for your blueprint? It was George Pavko's rough draft of how he envisioned the church, and these original drawings that I'm showing you are all in the scrapbook. They added two extra Sunday school rooms on during construction between the cry room and the sanctuary. But definitely he had a vision for where he wanted everything, and some of those original rooms are still there. This is now the Sunday school wing. But at the time, there was an old kitchen. We're talking about over there, old kitchen. And Sunday school rooms, the older bathrooms are back there. And if you were here in the 1970s, you'll know that these people are the pillars of the church. Katie and Sandra Pavko, Mike and Anna Bates, Pete and Susie Kerstage, and Mary Pavko. This is a precious picture. It's before the church was built, breaking of the ground. Behind it is the same lake that you can see if you look out there. These brothers and sisters that came together, they financed the church. They built the church. They envisioned the church. They had families in the church. And I have this is the original building permit. You will see this later on in the movie. This is the permit to build on this land. And so it gives a good date, how much money was paid. And I like this casual picture of Shandor Pavkov talking with George Pavkov. Remember, Shandor Pavkov is the father of Paul Pavkov, Anna, who's married to Donna. So this family has been in the AC Church here at Norton their whole lives since they came over from Europe. And Shandor was one of the treasurers at the time. And this again, just shows the older people. Can you imagine being in your 70s and being very excited to build a new building for your future generations, for your children and grandchildren? I think would be an exciting thing for them. And these two older ladies were very important in the building of the church, too. They financed a lot of funding for this church. And it's interesting, I was too young really to really realize the donations that they gave and the love that they put into building of the church. And Jenny Clements also was telling me about her dad, Brother Salady, who passed away when the church was being built. And in the will, he specified for a donation to church. So Jenny went out to the curb. They were putting in a new sewer line. She said, "Can I have a brick?" They said, "Sure." She brought a brick to Brother Bob Pavkov and wanted that brick built as part of the church to remember the Salady family. We think that brick is between the Sunday school room there, that wall there where you come from the foyer into that Sunday school room. Here's another wonderful drawing here of the pulpit area. And I don't know how to take that picture and make such a beautiful baptismal tank, but they did. I think Ernie Fox helped put in some of the brickwork there. But look how beautiful that is. The morning sun coming through the windows. Isn't it interesting? Brother George Pavlov had a vision, and so much of his vision we don't even really realize until you sit down and really talk with some of the ideas that he had. You know, we were here for Easter one morning. I just noticed the beautiful light coming through there because we're never really here at 8 a.m. to see that morning light, maybe once a year. So what happened in the fall of 1971? A construction began, and Brother Ralph Schley, that's him there. There's a better picture of him coming up. I like this picture to start off with because there's no church there. Where Brother Ralph is in the Sunday school area, where those two Sunday school rooms are way in the farthest one. But you can see Route 21 in the picture, in the background, and the Cyberling Farm. The church was built mostly by volunteer labor. And I'm not going to say much about the construction of the church. I think the pictures just speak for themselves. Sister Peg Toth gave me 100 pictures of the construction of the church. And I'm really glad that she had these pictures because without these pictures, I would have probably only had like 5 of the building of the church. And so I tried, and I'm not a construction worker, but I tried to put them in the order I thought they would be in when you build a church. So if I'm wrong, Brother Bob or Brother Jim, forgive me. I did the best I could. this is just a process of construction. The ladies would come and make food for the brothers of the church as they would work. And they would sit out there on the picnic tables and eat, and then they would go back to work. So this was all happening in the fall of 1971. While this was happening, the members were still meeting at the Brown Street Church. So as you'll see in the movies later on, people would come here in their church clothes to see what the progress was. Like every Sunday after services on the Brown Street Church, you'd come here and see what the progress was from the week before. So here they are, laying this is the Sunday school area here. They're putting down cement for that. And This, the old kitchen is where the new baby room is now. So that's the old kitchen. And they everything was done by labor by hand. This is the old Sunday school area. That was done first. Once the Sunday school room was up, they started meeting in that Sunday school area even before they started construction on this part of the church. So the walls are going up, and I'm just calling this the Sunday school wing. The walls are going up. We can do this in 10 minutes, the construction of this beautiful church. Isn't that interesting? But, yeah, volunteer people came. I tried to get names for these brothers, and I think I want to point out the second person from the left. His brother, Dan Kavzinski, passed away in December 1971, but he did work on the church. This is Brother Dave's father. He did work on the church, and there is in the, he is in the movie coming up of the building of the church. Brother Jim Pavkov, George Paymer, George Pavkov, Bob Hill, Ralph Schley, and other people that I don't remember their names. So this is continuation of the Sunday school area. There was a back porch on the Sunday school wing. That back porch was torn down when they built the new Sunday school rooms. So this is the connecting area here. Well, this will later on connect to the sanctuary up in here. Putting on the roof of the Sunday school wing. And like every Sunday, you come see the progress. The Gritches were there making sure everything was going fine. And if I don't know if we young people actually have a memory of being here. Might be a little hazy, because I was 11 years old in 1971. I remember bits and pieces of the building of the church. But, you know, once the shingles got on that roof and they could occupy, you know, services could begin. You know, once winter came, this is what the church looked like. Construction started in 71, the drilling of the well in March 1972. While this was going on, the ladies, or even, you know, Brother George and Sister Helen, were working on the inside decoration. Linda Webble and different people like Brenda Emmett, they were working on the inside. And if you attended church, you'll remember that pew and that beautiful green color. I don't like the color, that color green. Can you tell? So time marched on. This is the summer. So this has been 9 months since they started constructing, and this is what the church looked like. And I added a lot of these slides into the presentation because the construction of the church, I think, was really interesting to me. Even this beautiful brickwork on the fireplace, you know, Brother Bob, did you do that brickwork also? Okay, he did. Brother Bob, you'll see him pictures doing this brickwork, but this beautiful brickwork back there. You know, we were in the newspaper a lot. You can read this particular article in the scrapbook, but we were in the newspaper about, you know, how the people built the church. I think that was very interesting for the community. A very important day in the history of the Norton Church was February 18th, 1973, because it was the last service in the Brown Street Church. And it was a big thing, and I don't remember that date specifically, but big things when all the area Akron churches, Medina, would get together and sing in the evening. And so this was a very special evening for the church. And so the newsletter is sort of interesting because even though we were at the Norton church site, they called it the Barberton. I told Dan, when are they going to start calling it the Norton Church in the Messenger? I kept waiting and waiting. And finally they did. They figured out that we had a new name, and it was called the Norton Church. So this was the first. Martha told me she remembers this date because Karen was a baby. So women tend to remember important dates by how old their children were or if they were pregnant. You know, as a child, you come to this construction site and you just play around in the dirt. You know, I just thought that was so fun. I even heard someone visiting at Easter. They don't regularly come to the church, and they said, oh, I remember playing in those fields as a kid. And if you're a kid here, don't you go out in those fields and play? I mean, you have to thank Brother George Pafko that he found this beautiful church with all this land. Your parents don't have to be afraid you're going to run out in the street or something. And so I really like this picture a lot. It's in front of the cornerstone of the ministers at the time, or ministers associated with the church. Ted Pafkov, Ernie Pafkov, Reinie Webel, George Pafkov, and Bob Pafkov. And I see joy on their faces. I mean, their dream of this church is coming true, for not only for them, but their families, their grandchildren, and the future. I see joy. And if you notice at the top of that picture, guess what? There's no roof. This is, I'm guessing, right before they, started the construction of the sanctuary, and the roof went on. So I thank Sister Toth, Peg Toth, that found these slides for me of the construction of the church.